7 through verse 12. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread, and Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. Wow. Now that's a preacher, I'll tell you what. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting, and seated in the window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. And when he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said, "he's alive." Then he went upstairs again, broke bread and ate. And after talking until daylight, he left. And the people took the young man home alive and was greatly comforted. Let's pray. Come on, everyone, lift your voice. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this awesome church. I thank you for Pastor Nichols and the tremendous ministry you've given him all these years. This city has been impacted by this great church. Allow me, Lord, tonight to impart a word that will encourage your people. Come on, people, let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, come. Come in power and come in might. Lord, I'm asking for you to come in a marvelous way to speak to all of us tonight. You know exactly where we are. You know what's going on. You know the problems. You know the difficulties. You know our level of faith. I just pray tonight you will speak to us. We'll have ears to hear and heart to respond and eyes to see. I pray for an anointing to come on me, Lord, and an anointing to come on this congregation. And Lord, we're going to give you all the praise for what you do tonight, for it belongs unto you. We bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This fascinating passage of Scripture, context of it is interesting. Paul's on his final missionary journey. He's on his way home. He is going to get to Jerusalem and there get arrested and taken as a prisoner to Rome. He's aware of the fact that he may never come back to this area again. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to him on his way home that things are going to happen to him when he gets to Jerusalem. So he's there in Troas, and rather than just be there for a few days, he decides to stay for the entire week because he wants to be at the worship service with the church. And you'll notice on the first verse, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. That's Sunday. The reason we worship on Sunday and not Saturday is because it's the first day of the week. It's the day Jesus rose from the dead. It's the day of resurrection. And we as believers believe in a resurrected Lord who is at work in our lives every single day. And you got to understand the power of that. Paul's a Jew. Sabbath was a sign given to the people of Israel by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. And yet he understood the nature of the resurrection so that his worship day became Sunday. Everybody listen to me. He waits there in Troas so he can meet with the church. Isn't that an amazing thing? That's how important he saw that meeting. And it probably was a Saturday night because that would have been Sunday by a Jewish calendar. And because he's leaving knowing that he will not be back, He speaks till midnight, and he speaks on and on. And you can imagine what it must have been like, because they were in a third floor room. They didn't have beautiful lights like this. The only light was coming from a lamp, and you can imagine what it must have been like in that room. If you have a lot of people packed in a room and you got lamps that are producing smoke and heat, and I mean, it's stuffy to the max, and the preacher keeps preaching. And a young man got by a window, probably to get some air, and he falls deep asleep, and he falls out of that window, and he falls three stories, and he's dead. Now, I want you to think about what just happened. What if that happened tonight? We were in an upper room, fella falls out. Now, tell me what you think would happen. I'll tell you what I think would happen. There'd be people starting to blame people. People would blame the preacher for preaching too long. It's the preacher's fault. We're going to sue him. Some people would blame the young man. How dare you fall asleep in my message? You deserve getting killed. You went to sleep on me. Some would have blamed the young man. Some would have blamed the elders for not having a better ventilation system. Are you hearing me tonight? Some would have blamed the parents for not watching their son. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? When I read this text, God spoke to me. I'd never heard this ever shared before. But here's what God said. Here's the revelation. Write it down. Are you ready? If you grab onto this, your life will be eternally changed. You'll look at everything differently. Here's what he said to me. Stop blaming and raise the dead. Come on now, turn to your neighbor and tell him that. Come on. Stop blaming and raise the dead. Now, I want you to say it like you mean it. I'm going to say one, two, three. When I say three, I want you to shout it out. Ready? One, two, three. Now let that sink in your spirit. Because that'll change you. You see, some people never solve their problems because they're always blaming others. Well, if you hadn't done that to me, I'd be just fine today. If my mother had breastfed me instead of giving me a bottle, I would be thinking straight today. We live in a world where people are constantly blaming, and if they don't blame anybody else, they'll be sure to get depressed and blame themselves for their entire life. But we've got to change the picture. We've got to change the picture. You see, we've got to see God in a way that radically alters the picture. God wants us to see our problem as an opportunity for a miracle. Oh, I'm going to say that again because you didn't get it. God wants you to see your problem as an opportunity for a miracle. I said, well, Lord, that's heavy-duty stuff. Stop blaming and raise it. That sounds great, God. Sounds great. But how do I do that? And the Lord directed me to look closely at this text and see what Paul did and begin to grab onto it as a picture of some things that we can do to shift things. What's the first thing Paul did? You'll notice that he came down those stairs and he embraced the problem. You'll notice it says that Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him. He embraced the problem. Say it with me. He embraced the problem. See, he didn't run from it. He didn't ignore it. I believe God is saying we've got to face our problems, not ignore them. We got to believe that God can change things. You see, Paul understood that that's not the end of the story, that boy dead on the ground. Because he knew the God who raised the dead. Elijah raised the dead in the Old Testament. Elisha raised the dead. Jesus raised the dead. And Paul himself was stoned to death. And I believe it was at that time that he was raised from the dead. He went into the third heaven, he mentions. I think it was at that time when he was stoned. He knew what God could do. So rather than run away from the problem, rather than ignore it, he embraced it. He faced it. And you face it not with your own ideas, you face it with a revelation from God. You see, he did it God's way. Say it, he did it God's way. You'll notice what he did. He stretched himself on the young man. You say, what's that all about? Well, if you read the Old Testament, that's exactly what Elijah did, and that's exactly what Elisha did. It was the pattern to bring somebody back to life. He got fully involved in seeing the miracle take place. This is an important principle in life. When I came to Maui in 1980, I told you the story. I came to a little church. The church grew very quickly. It grew from 100 people to 700 the first year in Sunday morning attendance. Became one of the fastest growing churches in America that year. 3 months into the ministry, here I'm a young kid. I'm 30 years old. God's blessing. He's bringing about what he told me he'd do. And 3 months into the ministry, my wife comes to me and says, honey, our head elder, the man who had the greatest influence in that church, she said, honey, he's committing adultery. I said, I don't believe it. I can't believe that. He's such a spiritual man. She said, I'm telling you, he's committing adultery. I said, how do you know that? She said, I talked to him, and the Holy Spirit said to me, he's committing adultery. Well, what do you do when your wife tells you that? Well, I'll tell you what I wanted to do was ignore it. Say, she's just crazy. That woman's just crazy. I wanted to put it under the carpet. I mean, listen, I'm 3 months into this ministry. This is the most influential person in the church. And I'm a 30-year-old kid. I prayed. God said, you know what you're supposed to do, don't you? I've made it real plain in Matthew 18. You go and you confront him. So I went and I confronted him. Sure enough, he was committing adultery. I said, you got to stop. Well, I'm not going to. So I remember getting Bible tells to go with two or three, and so I took one of the folks in the church that was a friend of his and told him what was going on, and we went over to his house to confront him with two or three. He threw me out of the house. I wasn't going to let it go. I remember praying one night, God, if this is the end of my ministry, it's the end of my ministry. But I am not going to ignore this or run away from it. So I brought it to the church. I brought it to the church board. I said to the board, this man's committing adultery. The Bible tells me that our job is to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. So in that board meeting, we all stood, we prayed. First time I've ever turned anyone over to Satan. I said, Lord, I don't even know what all that means. But we're turning this boy over to Satan. Take your protective hand off of him. Take the covering of this church off of him. And let him feel that which the enemy wants to do to him. That week, he got an incurable disease. He was going to die. This is not a game, guys. And I don't play games. 2 weeks later, he came knocking at my door. Said, the doctors told me I have this disease and I'm going to die. He says, I repent. I said, good. I want you to repent to all the men in this church because you failed them. He called a men's meeting and he repented. I'd love to tell you that everything turned out well. Turned out well for the church. Turned out well for me. He decided later on to go back to his sin. But you know what? His wife was faithful to the Lord. She stayed in the church. God gave her a wonderful husband. They've been married now for over 30 years. God blessed her and her family. Provided for. God turned a very evil, horrible thing into a marvelous miracle of God's grace. And taught a preacher, 30-year-old kid, you don't run from your problems. You get in its face and you make a difference. Because you serve a miracle God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Say embrace the problem. That brings me to the next thing. What did Paul do? Well, you'll notice Paul was a man of prayer. Now, it doesn't say that he prayed, but Paul said words like this, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And I'm absolutely certain that when he was walking down those three stories of stairs, he was praying. He said, pray without ceasing. Don't worry about anything, but by everything with prayer. And thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 4, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace. I'm absolutely convinced that prayer is a crucial element for every one of us, and not just prayer when we're in trouble. Some people treat prayer like they treat the dentist office. The only time they ever go to the dentist is when they got a toothache and they need help. Some of you treat God that way. Nobody hangs out at the dentist's office. But why don't you realize something? Prayer is communion with God. I'm thankful this church emphasizes the ministry of prayer. And all the years I've been coming, and I came when you were in the other building before the tornado struck. I've been coming many years. You've always been a people of prayer. Don't ever stop. Otherwise, you're going to get into a mentality of blaming. And instead of God using that situation to create a miracle, you're going to be put under that problem. But when you pray, and it's a part of your lifestyle, listen to me, I'm talking lifestyle here. The only reason my church still exists today isn't because of, oh, he's such a great preacher. Oh, give me a break. I'm thankful for whatever gift he may have given me, but that's not why our church is still alive today and why it's still growing, why it's expanding all over the world. You know why it is? In 1984, my dad joined my staff. He was a man of prayer, and he opened a prayer meeting at 5:30 in the morning. 5:30 to 6:30 every morning. And he was old-time Pentecostal. He prayed loud. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean loud. You shook the building when you prayed. None of this meditating on your navel nonsense. And I was always, you know, I'm just going to be real cool, you know. Every generation tries to be different than the generation before, you know. And so, you know, if they're loud, we're going to be cool. And I'd come to the prayer meeting, but I'd always come late, and I'd hitchhike on his prayer. I'd sleep in the corner and hitchhike on his prayer. He'd be in the middle of the skating rink back in those days and praying out loud. 2 years later, he dies. 4 in the morning, my mom calls, and I run over there. And Dad's had a heart attack. I never forget what happened when we got to the emergency, and he dies. He's dead. I tell Mom, Mom. He's dead. Let's go in and raise him from the dead. I'll never forget what Mama said. She said, why would we do that? He's been wanting to be in heaven his whole life. Why would we bring him back here? I thought, well, that's right. Praise God. She is an amazing lady, that lady. But from 1986 till today, that prayer meeting has been going on. The other day they reported to me, because I go to, we have prayer centers all through Maui, and sometimes I'll go up to the one up near my home, 5:30 in the morning. Sometimes I'll go down to the cathedral. Sometimes I'll go out to Kihei. I think we have about 7 prayer centers on Maui alone, and every extension we have has prayer centers. They all have prayer meetings same time, or close to it. And I'm at the prayer meetings every morning. Because what happened when we were having a funeral service for Dad, and I may have shared this with you before in the past, but we had a funeral service for him on Maui. Brother Lester Summerall came and did the funeral for him because Lester and Dad were close friends. And then I came to Texas because he was, for four years before he came to me from 1980 to 84, he was the campus pastor at Christ for the Nations. And I don't know why I was holding this microphone. Like a lot of people, you just get in a habit of holding something and you don't know why you're holding it. It's my wife's fault. No. Stop blaming and raise the dead. Boy, that was good, Colleen. That was good. No, I'm fine. I'm fine. You know, she's thrown shoes at me from the front row. You know that, don't you? Well, we were having a funeral service here. And a friend of mine, I was at his church. At that time, he had one of the largest churches in Dallas. He stops his message, comes stand behind me. And he says, the double anointing that was on your dad's coming on you. I didn't feel anything. But when I went back to Maui, something very strange happened. At 4 in the morning, my eyes opened. That was a miracle. I'm telling you, it was a miracle. And from 1986 till today, 4 in the morning. It's an anointing. All of us, we need that anointing to pray. And we all need to pray. Because none of us know what situation is going to come our way. But if we have a lifestyle of prayer, we'll begin to release the miracle power of God. Are you still with me? You still with me? Praise God you're in a church that believes in prayer. Praise God you are. Just make it your lifestyle. Take a time. Whether it's a 24-hour prayer thing, you take that time, you be faithful to it, you say, that's what I'm going to do. Make it your lifestyle. But the third thing, you'll know, because you see, Paul understood something. God answers prayer. He really does. I mean, he really does. Oh, please. Let me tell you, he really does. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Everybody say pray. Oh, my. I got to tell. Can I give you a testimony? We're building a large facility in Alaska. I'm in 5 building projects right now, and we're buying buildings all over the place. I need millions. Millions. And there's only one problem. It's hard to find a bank to work with you when you need millions. They say, well, if you have millions in the bank, we'll loan you money. I said, if I have millions in the bank, I wouldn't be talking to you. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? So I was praying. I said, oh, God, I need a bank that will go with me. I need $10 million to build this building in Alaska. I had associations with various financial organizations, and they were willing to help, but not to that degree. And I just prayed. I said, God, give me a bank. I'm flying a month and a half ago to Germany. I stop in New York to preach for a friend of mine on a Sunday morning, and then I'm catching the plane to go to the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther tacking the 95 thesis on the Wittenberg door, chapel door. So I'm preaching there that Sunday morning. We happened to be eating dinner, I think it was on Saturday night, if I'm not mistaken, and we were just talking. I was, you know, how we all talk about the areas of need that we have, and I happened to mention that, you know, I'm looking for a bank to finance this $10 million project, one of many projects. He said, have you ever talked to this bank? He gave me the name of a bank. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's in the suburb of Tulsa, Oklahoma. I live on Maui. He says, you need to talk to this bank. I'll even give you the name of the banker. In fact, I'll call him on the phone for you. So I'm in Germany now. I call this banker on the phone. He said, well, I think we can help you. And over the last month, in fact, just this week, I went to that very bank in the suburb of Tulsa, and I met with the whole banking board, and they're all a bunch of Christians. The whole bank is owned by Christians. And their number one desire is to help churches. And 60% of their loans are to churches. I never heard of them. Never heard of them. They weren't even on the radar. I said, how come you don't advertise? He said, well, we don't do that. We just figure God will get the people he wants to us when he wants it. I go, oh, boy. I'm glad I prayed. And apparently they're going to help us. You see, God really does fix your problems. All right, I'll run that through again. I don't know if it sunk in. God really does fix your problems. So the first thing is embrace the problem. Face it. Don't run from it. Don't ignore it. Don't just say it's going to go away. It probably won't. Secondly, pray over it. Thirdly, now this is very important. And I want you to notice this because this is very strange. Are you still with me here? This is extremely strange because what you'll notice is that Paul goes down and he embraces the person. This person who's dead on the ground. And then he makes a statement. Don't be alarmed, he said. He's alive. And then he goes back upstairs. And I read that and I go, okay, man, come on. Give me a break. Does he have brain damage? Is his legs broken? Is his arms broken? Is his neck broken? Hello! I mean, he's fallen from a three-story building. Paul embraces him. And then he declares something. It's a faith-filled declaration. Don't be alarmed. He's alive. No explanation as to what's happening. And I believe what God did there is Paul spoke by revelation. Because this poor boy could have had a number of things wrong. But he understood the nature of God to bring a miracle about.
Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, that's awesome.
He declared what he believed God was doing. So you can keep focusing on your failure. Instead, focus on what God has done and what he's doing. This is a great church. Everybody in this house ought to share it. You got the greatest pastor on the planet, and you ought to say it. And you ought to believe it, and you ought to declare it, and you say, ah, Pastor! We got this problem, that problem, that problem. Oh, shut your mouth. Every church has problems. But you embrace what God has done and what he's doing. And you do the same for your own life. Oh, I don't like this about me. Hello, I look in the mirror. There was a time when I was thin. No more. Those luau's have jumped on me. It's bad. You keep looking at what God's done. What's he doing? You can focus on all the problems in your marriage. Or you can rejoice that somebody, and they were in their right mind when they did it. They married you. That's a miracle. I mean, that's a miracle. And they've lived with you. Can you believe it? You don't even want to live with yourself, and they've lived with you. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. You've got to change your focus and declare what you believe God is doing. In 2015, when we'd finished our 1-20-20 vision, 2010, God gave me that vision. 1-20-20, we'll have 120 campuses ministering to 20,000 weekly. And I remember when God spoke that into my spirit, I said, my goodness, how's that going to happen? How's that going to happen, God? How's that going to happen? But when the Lord dropped that in my spirit, I began to declare it. I got in front of the people and said, this is what we're going to do. I put up 1-20-20 signs everywhere, and I said throughout all of our extensions, this is where we're going. Did you know? At our May conference, which is our anniversary conference, in 2015, 124 banners marched through the congregation, each one representing a campus. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we were ministering to over 20,000 people every week. And then the Lord said, I got a new vision for you. We call it the 1-2-3 vision. 100 extensions in the U.S., 200 overseas, and 30,000 people in our small groups and ministries. We shifted our whole focus. It's happening. I said it's happening. I declare it. It's impossible. In the natural, it's impossible. I'm a church on Maui. Come on, give me a break. Maui is the size of one small suburb of Dallas. There ain't anybody else going to get there. You got to swim to get there. You know that, don't you? Or fly in. So, I mean, it's not like people are going to drive there. And for God to do what he's doing, it's beyond anything I know. You say, what's the secret? I don't have a secret. All I do is I pray, I obey, and I speak a word of faith. Say, what if it doesn't happen? Well, shut your mouth. I'm going to speak what I believe. And I'm not going to worry about it. He gave me a revelation, I'm going to speak it. And God gave Paul a revelation. Don't be alarmed, he's alive. And he goes and leaves. Aren't you going to explain anything, Paul? Nope, he's alive, I'm going back to preaching. There comes a time when you declare, you believe, you get a revelation, and you speak it and you go on. Hallelujah. That brings me to the fourth thing. Keep on ministering. Paul continued to preach till morning. Some people get hurt or have a failure, never get back to ministering. Oh, no. I'm a failure. I'm never going to succeed. Pastor friend of mine started a church plant, but that plant failed. God spoke to him, go to another city and do the plant there. And because of his failure in the first plant, he was afraid to go to the next one. But God gave him faith to believe God could turn it around, so he goes. Did you know that's become one of the greatest churches in America today? Please don't judge your future by your past. And if you've had all wonderful things, don't be so proud and arrogant, think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. That ain't, your past doesn't define your future. Your future is in God's hand as you continue to obey Him and do what He's called you to do. I'm absolutely convinced we must do whatever God, whatever we need to do in order to fulfill God's plan in our lives. And that means we need to keep doing what He's called us to do. It doesn't matter how old we are, it doesn't matter how fat we are, how skinny we are, tall or short, wealthy or poor. If we'll continue, God will do His miracle. Tonight, God has a word for you. Stop blaming and raise the dead. I don't know what that means to you personally. Whether it's a business situation, whether it's a relationship situation, whether it's a ministry situation. As long as you blame, the problem will still be there. But you don't know what they did to me. Okay, I'm not being heartless. I understand the pain. But listen, I also know the God who can change things. And if your focus is wrong, it prevents God from doing His job. Learn from your mistakes. Go on. Remember, we're people full of the Holy Ghost. Everybody say it, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Miracles happen. Hello, I'm saying miracles happen. Miracles happen. Paul writes in Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, He prays through us, interceding for us. Holy Spirit is in us to work through us to pray. He goes on in verse 28 and says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. The key of that verse is that then we know, and we know, and we know, and we know God can turn everything to good if I position myself to allow Him to. He goes on in that chapter. What a chapter. In verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? And he concludes, verse 37, no, in all these things we're more than conquerors. You're full of the Holy Ghost, His power is at work within you. So we've got to make a shift. We look at the problems we face as opportunities. Everybody say, as opportunities. Say it, as opportunities for God's power to flow through us. Stand to your feet. Come on. Lift both hands in the air. Let's begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Come on, just pray in the Holy Ghost for a bit. Come on, just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Would you do it? Shobala rama kotete. Indala rama bati. Spirit of the living God, come in power. Come in might. Come on, just pray in the Holy Ghost. This is Sunday night. This is for the folk who love God with all their heart, mind, soul. You've come. Sunday night. Let God touch you tonight. Shabbat el arama bakoti. Indalarama kote telarama bati. Spirit of God, come in power. Come in power, come in might. Elarama te telarama bati. Shabbat. I praise you, Lord. I praise you. Elarama babalarama pati. Indalarama pati, nalarama pati. Hey, There's a number of people here tonight that you've had a disappointment. That's the word God gave me. As I was praying a moment ago, he said, disappointment. He said, there's a number of people here who've gone through a disappointment. And that disappointment has attempted to derail you from what you felt in your spirit God wanted to do. But I'm here to tell you, God is going to take that disappointment and turn it into an opportunity for you to see God at work in your life. And if that be you, and if you believe that, that God's going to turn it to good, I want you to step out from where you're standing. Come stand right here. I want to pray for you. Quickly. 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 That's the word he gave me, disappointment. Shabai la rama bakoti. Shabai la rama bapati. Shambaba la rama. Come on. Inda la rama panti tete la rama panti te. Onda la rati. Holy Ghost, come in power. 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 Just pray in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the Lord is present. He's going to do something wonderful. I'm going to lay my hands on you. Power of God's going to touch you. You're going to believe God's going to turn things to good. You're going to lift it to the Lord. If you have to confront something, confront it, but then leave it. Leave it to the Lord. Pray. Hallelujah. Declare what you're believing God's going to do and keep going with what God's called you to do. Come on, let's pray. Shabbat. And now, in Jesus' name, Shabala Ramaba, miracle to happen. A miracle to happen. And Alaramatete, a miracle to happen. Shabala Ramabatete, a turning to good in this situation. Shabatete la Rama, miracle to happen. Now, Telaramaba. And Alaramabatete, miracle to happen. Shabala rama ba kote. Etala rama ba. Spirit of God come upon in mighty ways. Etala rama, break every bondage of the enemy. And I declare victory and liberty and freedom. Shabatala rama. Tala rama ba. Victory, Lord. Victory tonight. Shabala rama ba kote te. Enda la rama bakote. Oh, Spirit of God, come in power. Come now, turn it to good. I said, turn it to good. Shabbat, turn it to good. Turn it to good. Oh, my, God's power is on you. Shabbat la rama bakote. Oh, enda la rama bakote. God's healing some people in your lower abdomen area, intestinal, stomach, bottom part of your body. God's healing you. If that's you, in a moment I'm going to ask you to come. Shabala rama bakote. Now in Jesus' name, be healed. Be delivered, set free. Disappointment melt. Life to flow. That's the working of the Lord in you, honey. Shabala rama bakote. Spirit of God, come upon him. Give him new thoughts, fresh thoughts. Thoughts of victory and victory and victory and victory. Shabbat ete la rama patete. You will turn her mourning into joy. Shabbat la rama patete. You will do it, Lord. You will do it. You'll do it. You'll do it, Lord. You'll do it. Oh, my. Turn it, Lord, for good. 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 Shabbat. Oh, my. God's power's on you, honey. Shabbat, Baba. He's lifting it off of you. It's not going to be a burden anymore. Shabbat, la rama. It's not going to haunt you anymore. Shabbat, la rama, ba-ti-ti. Ote, la rama, ba-ti. Touch him, Lord. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Where's those individuals need healing in their body for their intestines, their stomach area? Where are you? Quickly come. Where are you? Just wave at me. Shabalaram, just stand right where you are, honey. Just stand right there. Shabalaram, Abati. Power of God's coming on you, honey. In great measure. That affliction is leaving you. Now, in Jesus' name, be healed. Shabalaram, that's God's power. God's power. God's power. Shabbati. Now, in Jesus' name, be healed. Affection, go now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's somebody here, there's more than one. You've been having a disruption in your sleep where you cannot seem to get sleep. And it's bothered you. You've been very concerned about it. Where are you? Come here. Quickly, let me pray for you. I'll pray God will give you a rest. Come quickly, please. Come, come, come. Sleep is an embarrassment. Come, just stand here. Come, come, please, come. Come, come. I know when we get older, a lot of things change. I know that. But this is something you've been concerned about. Come here. Come here. Says he gives his servants, those he loves, sleep. I want to pray for that rest. Your mind will go to rest. I'll pray for both of you. Shabbat. Lord, I break off every attack of the enemy to weaken and limit these. As I lay hands on them, I declare peace to their minds. And rest. They'll get a good night's sleep. They'll be renewed in the morning and refreshed. You'll give them wisdom to know how to walk in that refreshment. You'll do that. You'll do it. You'll do it. You'll do it. There's something lacking in their system. You'll get it for them. You'll do it, Lord. Touch them now. In Jesus' name, be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Lord's touching. Oh, my, 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 my. Hallelujah. What are you wanting Jesus to do for you, honey? Yes? Okay, put your hands right there. Shabalaramati. Oh, my. That's the power of God on you, honey. That's the power of God. That's God doing His work. Completely healed, Lord. All the pain to go. Completely healed. In Jesus' name. It's God's power. Shabbati. How good you are, Lord. How good you are, Lord. Honey, what do you want Jesus to do for you, sweetheart? In Jesus' name. Oh, my. Be healed in Jesus' name. Power of God. Fiber in her being touched by you. Touch her. Touch her. Touch her, Lord. Come on over here. Let's just pray. You're a woman of great faith. What's the situation?
She was born with cerebral palsy.
Cerebral palsy?
But she broke her neck. Mm-hmm. She's had some injuries. She went from 2 years ago to the way we are today.
All right. Well, let's pray. Come on. Lord, speak healing to this neck. Neck be healed. Be knitted together correctly. Nerves work properly. In the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, come. Let her walk again. Let her be mobile again. And I break off the cerebral palsy. Let her be free. In Jesus' name, be free. Nerves healed. Body healed. In Jesus' name. And give her peace. Hallelujah. Amen. We're in agreement, honey. We're in agreement. Hallelujah. You know, as I was praying for some folk there, there's some of you here that you're very concerned about some people that are close to you, family members that aren't saved, and you've been lifting them up before the Lord, and it just doesn't seem like anything's turning. And there's been a few of you that have been blaming yourself or blaming some others. But I'm here to tell you, God's going to do some miracles that are going to blow your mind. And if what I'm saying fits your situation, I just want you right now to stand to your feet, lift both hands in the air, and let me pray for you. Father, I break off every attack of the enemy on this family. Everyone. Everyone. I break off the lies. And I ask now in your mighty name to move on behalf of every one of these families and for these that they love. You will touch them, intervene on their behalf, change them, transform them. Let that one who's wayward come home as the prodigal did. Lord, I'm asking for you to pull out all the props and cause them to come home. People that are loved by these whose hands are raised, you will reach out to them because you see exactly who they're thinking about right now. And you will touch them. And you will do the miracle that's needed. And we'll stand in awe and say, hallelujah. 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 For what we're going to see happen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Come on, lift your voice.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, I like it. Come on.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.